that you're singing the songs or singing the words, but God starts to speak. Amen. And he starts to stir something inside of you. You know why? Because it takes about the first or second song of worship to clear the clutter. The fight you had before you got here. The fact you didn't get breakfast. The coffee was not good. Or you didn't even get the coffee. That's why the fight happens, right? Nobody made the coffee. But how many know sometimes by the time we get here, it takes a little bit for us to shift. You know, the girls were talking yesterday at Delight how much sometimes we can be in an moment, but yet the worship starts to happen and starts to rein you in and starts to bring you in. Something starts to connect in the spirit and deep starts to call to deep. And you're like, yeah, that's it. That's the presence. That's the anointing. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. And I can tell you times in my life where I felt the tangible presence of the Holy Spirit come from the top of my head down to the soles of my feet till I audibly said out loud, oh, yeah, that's it. That's his presence. I want to tell you it is there, it is real, and it's available for every one of us. And so we know the story, and we know that God takes teenagers and he starts to perform his purpose, and he starts to speak to the young and the old. I love a generational God, don't you? Yeah. Come on, I love where God wants to take the energy and the inspiration and the willingness of the young, but I love when he takes the wisdom of the old, and he puts mentors in place, and he puts voices in our life that can speak to us in due season and cause the purpose of God to come alive in us. How many are thankful for the mentors in your life? And sometimes it's grandma, sometimes it's grandpa, sometimes it's a mom or a dad, sometimes it's a friend, or sometimes it's a random person, whoever it is. How many know we need mentors and advisors in our life that can speak truth in love and to cause us to grow up into who God has called us to be? And so it's not only the affirmation in our life that causes growth, but it is the correction in our life that causes growth as well. Can everybody say amen? Correction is necessary. God is not a God that allows us to just do our own thing and then we just say grace, grace. How many know grace empowers you to choose the right path of what God has called you to do? And he's not a God that is angry and God that's ready to smote you, but he's a God who wants to cultivate and nurture and plant and water and cause you to grow into who he's called you to be. Amen. Can I just tell you a secret this morning, too? There's not just one thing God wants you to be. Because the need is the call. Because when we see a need, God will call you to that. He might call your heart to that, and he might use you in that area or that arena for a time and a season. But how many know there's many arenas that he can use you in if you're willing to be obedient and available? How many know there's something to be said for availability, for consistency, for faithfulness, for being devout? We're going to talk about it too this morning, that we're faithful and devout and waited and waited and waited. How many know sometimes you just got to trust God in the waiting? Anybody ever waited on anything? Anybody still waiting? Amen. I've waited on some things, but I've saw God fulfill those things, but there's still some things I'm waiting. But in the waiting, he's faithful. Amen. To show up, he's faithful to speak. He's faithful to work, even in the darkest of our season. Even in the failures of our life, God is in the details. That there's nothing wasted that God can't work in. That God can't restore, that he can't renew, that he can't bring purpose and beauty out of your story. Because your story becomes his story, history. Anybody got any history in here this morning? Amen. 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 So I want to go to, did I give you Hebrews 10? Okay, go ahead and bring up Hebrews 10. I'm going to read this out of the Passion Translation because I just liked how it was said. It is a translation, as all are. And now we are brothers and sisters in God's family because of the blood of Jesus. And he welcomes us to come into the most holy sanctuary in the heavenly realm boldly and without hesitation. Isn't that beautiful? For he has dedicated a new life-giving way for us to approach God. For just as the veil was torn in two, Jesus' body was torn open to give us free and fresh access to him. And since we now have a magnificent high priest to welcome us into God's house, we come closer to God and approach him with an open heart, fully convinced that nothing will keep us at a distance from him. Nothing will keep us at a distance from him. I hear a lot of people say this time of year that, you know, one of their New Year's resolutions is, you know, to be closer to God. This scripture tells us that nothing will keep us at a distance from him. We might want to distance ourselves, but how many know God does not distance himself from us? You say, oh, Pastor Lisa, but you don't know my history. I don't need to. I know what the word says. And the word says he will not distance himself from you. He is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I mean, no, it is the power and the connection of God. Now, you can distance yourself. You can try to push him away. You can try to push that part of your life away, or you can nurture it and cultivate it and have growth and strength and understanding, I will never leave you. For our hearts have been sprinkled with blood to remove impurity, and we have been freed from an accusing conscience. Now we are clean, unstained, and presentable to God inside and out. So now wrap your heart tightly around the hope that lives within us, knowing that God always keeps his promises. Isn't that what you just sang? He will never fail. Discover creative ways to encourage others and to motivate them towards acts of compassion, doing beautiful works as expression of love. This is not the time to pull away and neglect meeting together. How many know there's power in the assembly? That was a weak amen. There is power in the assembly. Now's not the time to pull away and neglect meeting together, as some have formed the habit of doing. Do you know coming to church can be a habit? There are good habits. Amen. In fact, we should come together even more frequently, eager to encourage in each other onward as we anticipate the day dawning. How many know there is power in the assembly? There is the necessity of the gathering of the saints. Because there's something that happens, I believe, in corporate worship and corporate word. When deep begins to call to deep, and when we begin to lift our hands and we begin to worship together, and we begin to let the power of the Holy Spirit flow from the inside out. And how many know sometimes that comes from the washing of our tears that are shed, that sometimes are the greatest release of stress and anxiety and things like that, and the touch of the Holy Spirit when God begins to give you a good old church cry. There's no cry like a church cry that when the power of the Holy Spirit starts to flow, that it's just not internal, but it's external, and it begins to wash over us. And it washes over us in such a way that there's a release of the anointing of the Holy Spirit that said, God is in this place. Hallelujah. And so in Luke chapter 2, we're going to start there. Go ahead and bring that up for me if you would. And we're going to do that one out of the Passion, too. I haven't King James, but I want to read it out of the Passion as well. On the day of the baby circumcision ceremony, 8 days after his birth, his parents gave him the name Jesus, the name prophesied by the angel before he was born. 40 days after the birth of her son, Mary's time of purification had completed, so she came to the temple with the sacrifice according to the law of Moses. So Mary and Joseph took baby Jesus to Jerusalem to be dedicated before the Lord. For it is stated in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be set apart for God and is required to offer a prescribed sacrifice, either a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. As they came to the temple to fulfill this requirement, an elderly man was there waiting. An elderly man was there waiting. A resident of Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. He was a very good man, a lover of God, who kept himself pure and the spirit of holiness rested upon him. Simeon believed in the imminent appearing of the one called the refreshing of Israel. Another translation says the consolation of Israel. Another translation says the comfort of Israel, the one who had been prophesied to come to bring comfort to my people. For the Holy Spirit had revealed to him that he would not see death before he saw the Messiah, the Anointed One. Keeping his promise, the Holy Spirit led Simeon to be in the temple court at the very moment Jesus' parents entered to fulfill the requirement of the sacrifice. Simeon cradled the baby in his arms and praised God and prophesied, Lord and Master, I am your loving servant, and now I can die content, for you have fulfilled your promise to me. With my own eyes, I have seen your word, the Savior you sent into the world. He will be glory for your people Israel and the revelation light for all people everywhere. Mary and Joseph stood there awestruck over what was being said about their baby. Simeon then blessed them and prophesied over Mary, saying, a painful sword will one day pierce your inner being, for your child will be rejected by many in Israel, and the destiny of your child is this. He will be laid down as a miracle sign for the downfall and resurrection of many in Israel. Many will oppose this sign, but it will expose to all the innermost thoughts of their hearts before God. A prophetess named Anna was also in the temple court that day. She was from the tribe of Asher and the daughter of Phanuel. Anna was an aged widow who had been married only 7 years before her husband passed away. After he died, she chose to worship God in the temple continually. For the past 84 years, she had been serving God with night and day prayer and fasting. While Simeon was prophesying over Mary and Joseph and the baby, Anna walked up to them and burst forth with a great chorus of praise to God for the child. From that day forward, she told everyone in Jerusalem who was waiting for their redemption that the anticipated Messiah had come. When Mary and Joseph had completed everything required of them by the law of the Lord, they took Jesus, returned to their home in Nazareth in Galilee. The child grew more powerful in grace, for he was being filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Thus, the reading of the word. The title of my sermon today is Hearing Through Grace. We talked about last week how that when the word of the Lord had come to Zechariah that he would have a son, and he began to question God, and God silenced the voice of Zechariah for the 9 months or more that the child would grow and then to be delivered. And just as was the custom for Jesus, was the custom to bring Zechariah into the house after the order of the law, and offer him. And while they were doing that, they had to name the baby, and they said, what will his name be? And Zechariah and Mary thought that they would name him after the family lineage. They thought that they would name him after the old order line of prophets. And John reaches for a writing pad and he writes, his name will be John. The name John means grace, or our Lord is grace, gracious. And when an old order priest begins to prophesy a word of grace, his mouth is opened and a new revelation of message is preached in a temple like it's never been preached before. Grace is now on the scene. The name Anna also means grace. The name Hannah means grace. They're all a version of the same thing. But what we see in the Luke, in the story of Luke, we see a man named Simeon. Simeon, the name Simeon means hearing, or he who hears. Simeon is a man who could hear from the Lord. Anna was a woman of grace that began to prophesy and proclaim grace. And when the two came together, how many know their hearing was mixed with grace? And we began to hear a message in a temple about a baby that's about to bring the revelation of grace in the earth. What a powerful picture we have of mentors, of a man who was Simeon, who was just and devout and had believed God that the promise that he had received, he would see it with his natural eyes and he would know and declare that the Messiah had been born. Anna, who stays in the temple over 80 years praying and fasting and believing, had a heart that was prepared and ready so that when that baby came into the temple, she knew by the Spirit that she had just encountered the Messiah. I don't know about you, but I am ready for a season of people who are motivated by the power of the Holy Spirit, that have been in prayer and seeking after God, that when they see God, they recognize Him. Come on, somebody. My prayer for this season is, God, let me recognize you in everything and the direction that you want to go with me and in this church and in this season, that when you step into the house, I recognize the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit and say, that is what I've been looking for. That is what I've been waiting for. The Messiah is among us, and I'm not missing church today because I have come here every day and every Sunday saying, I know God is going to do what he said he could do, and I'm not missing out on it. And when I show up, he shows up, and something happens in the house that the people who have been seeking after the way of the Lord said, I recognize that presence. I recognize, man, out of all the babies who came to the temple, how did they know he was the one? Because his name was Jesus. That was a Jewish name. Anybody could have been named Jesus. But he was Jesus, the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, the Emmanuel God, the God with us, the God who had been prophesied. Somebody had been in the Word. Somebody knew what Isaiah had prophesied. Somebody believed the word of the Lord that said a virgin will conceive and bear a son. Somebody believed that when God said it, he would fulfill it and he would bring to pass what he said. Come on, it is time and season for some believers to stand up and be led by the Holy Spirit and say, I'm not backing down from the promise of God in my life because I believe God will do what he said he would do. And though the vision tarry, come on somebody, though the vision tarry, wait for it. She waited. She abode in the temple. See what happens sometimes when we don't see it on our time frame and we don't see it come to pass. We're ready to hit the road and take flight and say, well, it must not be for me. And about the time you're ready to hit the road is about the time God's ready to step in and say, now, now, now is the season in the fullness of time. How strategic of God to put in the womb of Elizabeth John the Baptist, just about the time when Mary was going to need a mentor and a mama that could stand and say, Mary, we got this girl. This is something I've never walked through, Mary. Elizabeth, I don't know how to bear the Messiah. I don't know how to perform what God is requiring of me. But if you'll stand with me, if you'll mentor me, if you'll encourage me, I'll encourage you, and we will do what God spoke and said that He would do, because a threefold cord is not easily broken. You need people in your life that are Annas and Simeons and mentors who have spent time in the realm of the heavens, that know the voice of the Holy Ghost and know times and seasons. Hallelujah. So when the young come into our presence and come into the house of the Lord, we can recognize potential and calling and giftings in their life and speak into that. The reason I have a heart for young kids, the reason we pray for them over every Sunday before they go down, because I was a young kid who accepted Jesus about the age of 3-4 years old. I know the power of God to touch your heart when you're young, and the callings and giftings of God are without repentance. I don't care what path you've taken. I don't care what road you're on. I don't care what you think has happened in your life, but I call forth every promise. I call forth every scripture. I call forth every prophetic word that's ever been spoken over you. Every child that seems like they're astray, I call forth every prophetic word that God will bring to pass exactly what He said that He would do. But I'm going to tell you, when God places His hand on your life, and especially at a young age, you will not depart from it. It might not look what you think like it should look like, but I'm going to declare today, your kids can run until they will run right smack dab into the face of God, because He will be standing there every time like the Papa God with His skirt pulled up and said, "That was my son who was lost, but he is alive again. He was dead and he is alive. And I declare that the word of the Lord is true to your house and to your generations. Thus saith the Lord." Hallelujah. And so they're in the house of the Lord, and they're going about church as usual. They're doing the same thing they did all the time, but prompted by the Holy Spirit. How many's ready to be prompted by the Holy Spirit today? Simeon went to the house. And when he did, he took the child up into his arms. And he embraced the promise. He embraced God. He embraced the Emmanuel God and said, "Lord, now you can just let me depart in peace, because my eyes have experienced and beheld the glory and all that you have promised to me, God. Today I embrace and hold in my natural physical arms." Anna coming in. Here's the prophetic word, and joins to the one who has a vision, and she begins to declare it is a season of grace, because Anna is on the scene. Grace is on the scene, and grace is about to intercept this baby like no other baby has ever been intercepted, because he is the one who will declare a message of grace and truth to be revealed in the earth at a time and a season that is right on time. I mean, there's something to be said for being faithful. Something to be said for being devout. Something to be said for the prompting of the Holy Spirit and being Holy Ghost driven. There's something to be said for the desire of the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Come on, somebody, it is available for you. I believe we have the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit in us, but I also believe there is a manifestation of the prayer language that comes with power that is available for you, that all you got to do is ask, and you can receive, even as they did on the day of in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. And the Holy Ghost will drive you to always recognize Jesus in the house. Or recognize Him at work. That word consolation means comfort. In Isaiah chapter 40, it begins to start out, and I'm not going to go there, but it says, comfort ye, my people. When I read this earlier in the year in our Christmas series, how many know Isaiah began to, after the first 39 chapters of Isaiah, when he starts out crying, "Woe is me, woe is me, woe is me." And then he said, Lord, take the coal and put it to my lips. And when he puts the coal to his lips, how many know his language changes? His speech changes. Because all of a sudden, it was, woe is me, woe is Israel, woe, woe, woe. Anybody know any woe, woe, woe people? Yeah. Yeah, you hang out with woe, woe, woe people long enough, and your speech changes. But about the time he takes the coal of the fire and he puts it to his lips, he starts prophesying, comfort ye my people, and say to them that their warfare has been accomplished and they have received for their sins. And he said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? He said, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. How many know that's what Simeon is looking for when he comes into the temple, is the declaration of one who cries in wilderness and says, get ready, get ready, get ready, prepare ye the way of the Lord. And so he comes into the temple, and that declaration is made. That word, comfort or consolation, comes from the word paraklesis, if you know what that is, and it's the same version of the word that comes out of John chapter 4:14, when John begins to talk to his disciples and said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless, but I'm going to send the comforter to you. I'm not going to leave you orphaned. I'm not going to leave you abandoned. I'm not going to leave you comfortless, but I'm going to send the paraklesis. I'm going to send the power of the comforter to you. I'm sending you the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And so he begins to cry out and declare and claim the power of the comforter in a season. Hallelujah. The power of mentors in our lives. And Dr. House shared some of this back some time ago about mentors, mamas, and maidservants, and those who stand in the house and who nurture and train and are willing to train and work with those to bring them to a place of maturity and understanding. How many know all of us need a listening ear sometimes? All of us need somebody to bounce a scripture off of and say, hey, what do you think about this one? Amen? To be able to teach us, to train us. My desire is to always be a student first and then a teacher. We never become too old to learn or to be taught new tricks. Amen. You really can teach an old dog new tricks. Hallelujah. And so God revealed to priests, widows, teenagers, wise men, and shepherds his will in the earth and what he's about to accomplish. Hallelujah. They embraced the Messiah. How many know in this scenario there are elders like Zechariah and Elizabeth and Simeon and Anna? But there also is the young, like Mary and Joseph. Do you know that shepherds were often men and women in the scriptures? David was a young boy when he was called to be king. Rachel was tending sheep when she met her beloved at the well. And the other women as well. Amen? And so even then, we always see that, you know, the men and the big long beards. But how many know there were young shepherds at the time too? Those young shepherds had the ability to be giant killers, just in case you didn't know that story. Come on, somebody. He's going to take some wisdom and some energy, and he brings the generations together. I say all the time, I love generational church. I love kids dancing around making noise. I love when the elderly dance around and make noise. It don't bother me at all. Come on, somebody. Y'all want to break out and dance and shout? It's all right. Hallelujah. But I love the generations. And I think we always need to sow into generations. And we always need to be aware of God. Not where, just where we've come from, but where we're going. See, I am very blessed to have a legacy behind me of some stories of some matriarchs and patriarchs who paved some way. Come on, somebody. If you got somebody in your life that was faithful to God, you better thank God for them and say, thank you for preparing a way for me. Thank you for sowing into the next generation. You know, as I was preparing even for the new season and coming in and thinking about things, I thought about the widows and the people in this house that would sow into this house that did not have money, did not have finances. I had a little lady say to me one time, she was tight on finances, and I said, I said, if you need to take your money and your tithe and buy your medicine and buy your groceries, that's what you need to do. You know, and we'll help out with there. And she said, I would never spend the Lord's money on anything but the Lord. Come on, I want to tell you, there are some houses that have been built on the backs of some widows that said, I know God too well to not trust Him to get me where I need to be. I want to tell you, He is so faithful to us. He is faithful even when we're not faithful. Is that not the best thing ever? But God desires our faithfulness. But even when I've not been faithful, He's been faithful. Even when I've been a character, He has been faithful. When I was a scoundrel, He was faithful. When I doubted Him, He was faithful. When I thought He was far off, He was faithful. Because that's the kind of God that I serve. If you have not met the faithful God, you need to begin to sow some things into faithfulness. You know, and it's not just our finance, it's our time, our talent, and our treasures. Come on, somebody. Simeon, go to the temple. Jesus is there today. Prompted by the Holy Spirit, get to the house this morning, Simeon, because Jesus is showing up. See, you didn't come here to find Jesus. He doesn't sleep here. See, we get this mindset, well, I'm going to go to church and I'm going to meet Jesus there. Well, yeah, you do, because He's everywhere. But you know how He got here? He rode in a fleshly, mortal body. In a Toyota or a Buick or a Ford or whatever it is you came here in today. How many know that's how He got here? Because when you came, you brought Him with you. And when you released Him in the house, He fills the house. Come on, it's that river inside of us that begins to flow. And when it does, it fills the house. And we begin to be engulfed in His presence. There's something about, I believe there's a host of heaven that stands up when the chord of the worship song that's hit says, we're about to have church up here. They're about to have church down there. We're about to have church up here. Come on, somebody. When the prophet looked out and his servant said, alas, my master, what are we going to do? Because we are surrounded by the Syrian army and we are facing demise and defeat. You know what he did? He found a mentor. He found a prophetic voice. He found somebody who had a little bit of maturity. And when the prophet stepped out, he said, open his eyes, Lord, that he can see. And what seemed like they were hosted about with an army of destruction, above and beyond that, the host of the chariots of Israel were encamped round about that place. And his eyes were open, and we began to see the bigger picture, that what I'm seeing right now, it don't look good, but there's something happening in the heavens when we begin to hear a prophetic voice that says, open your eyes and see the Messiah, because he's in the house today. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. We need prophetic voices that will speak a word. A prophetic voice is not just, thus saith the Lord. And it is that. But a prophetic voice is a word that declares what the Word said is true of you right here and right now. Amen? It's the preaching of the Word. Anna's name means grace. And I had shared on this scripture back some time ago, but I didn't catch till this morning thinking about it, putting it together. And I don't want to re-preach this whole sermon, but how many know there are men and women that God are raising up? How many know God doesn't care if you're male or female? That we're all sons of God, we're all the bride of Christ, and that He welcomes in like that. But I believe that God has empowered voices from the beginning of men and women who would stand up and declare the word of the Lord. But there were five daughters of the daughter of Zelophehad. Anybody ever heard of the daughters of Zelophehad? Oh, this is going to be good. Nobody. We gotcha. We gotcha. Five. Everybody say five. What's the number five mean? Grace. The number five means grace. There were five daughters of the daughter of Zelophehad, and when they got ready to give out the inheritance, how many know the inheritance went to the oldest son, right? Under the old covenant and Old Testament. Well, old Mr. Zelophehad, he had himself five daughters, but he didn't have any sons, right? Five of them, the number of grace. And so when they got ready to hand out the inheritance, the daughters of Zelophehad step up to Moses and said, "There are no brothers, but we want our inheritance." And Moses said, "Well, that's not normally the way we do things. Let me go pray about it." So he goes back to God and he talks to God about the daughters of Zelophehad and said, "There is no son, but they want their inheritance." You know what God said? Give it to them. Give it to them. Come on, there are some women that are going to stand up and say, "I want what the Lord has promised to me. I want my inheritance. I want my inheritance over my family." And when grace stands up and petitions the mediator, God speaks from the heavens and says, "Give it to them what they ask." Go ahead. There's some women at the earth that are petitioning the mediator, petitioning heaven and said, "I want my inheritance. I want my kids for Jesus. I want the purpose and will of God in my life. I'm going to step outside of character. I'm going to step outside of protocol. I'm going to step outside of boundaries. And I'm going to ask. And when I ask, I receive. Because somebody has the strength to step up and say, I want my inheritance." Come on, we talked about men and women in the house standing up and be what God has called us to be. It's a time for the scripture we talked about last week. We have many instructors, but we don't have many fathers. I mean, that was a scripture that Paul began to speak. I mean, there's a difference in a father and an instructor. A father can instruct, but an instructor will never become a father. How many know we need instruction from fathers? Godly men in the house, godly women in the house, that even when I don't see it, he's working. And then in closing, it says, "And the child grew in wisdom and favor with God and man." And what I want to say to you this morning in light of that is, be selective who speaks into the life of your children. Be selective on who you allow to speak into the life of your children. Children, be selective of who has your ear. Come on, we lend our ear to a lot of stuff. And sometimes I'm convinced we miss the voice of the Lord because our ear is pinned to somebody else's fence post. That's a whole nother sermon. But whatever you allow your ear to be attached to, that's what you will hear. That's what will feed into your mind. That's what will feed into your actions, because it comes through your mind. It enters your heart. It comes out in your actions. What do you want? What do you want? If you want the goodness and favor of God, feed it. Pour into it. Increased in strength and wisdom with God and man. In Luke 16:16, it says, "The law and the prophets were until John. Since then, the kingdom of God is preached." There's this tremendous shift that occurs as old order becomes new vision. The last of those who held on for the consolation would see fulfillment and discover a new kingdom. Those things are passing away like the law and the prophets, but God has placed a new voice, a new word in the house. And it is a message of grace. It's a message of spirit. It's a message of triumph. Go ahead and stand to your feet with me this morning. God is speaking. God is declaring a word in due season. If we faint not, hallelujah. Hearing through grace. I believe there's a message of grace that's coming forth. that is declaring a new word in this season, that if we will hear by the Spirit what the Spirit says to the church, there will be an understanding. Our eyes will be opened. Our hearts will be enlightened. And we will embrace and hold in our arms the very thing that God promised to us. Do you believe it this morning? Hallelujah. If you believe it, shout amen. 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 As Beth sings this morning, if you're online, you need something this morning from Jesus, we declare it to be done. We declare that the Word of God is working in households today. I pray that He is ministering to hearts who are watching us online today to hear the message of hope, the message of the Messiah who is among us, the Emmanuel God. If you're in the house here this morning and you need special prayer, you need something, strength, you need some Simeon and Annas to stand with you, we are here to do that with you this morning, and I open the altar for whatever you might have need of in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. Beauty that made this heart. the children can come sing.
Sure.